The two men facing off in the strike are union leader Roger Toussaint and Metropolitan Transportation Authority Chief Peter Calico. As NPR's Mike Pesca reports, understanding their unique life stories could shed some light on the current dispute.
When union president Roger Toussaint sits across the negotiating table from MTA chair Peter Calico, what does he see? The Trinidad-born union leader with a streak of white in his hair and a wider streak of militancy in his stance might just see a millionaire, possibly even a billionaire, wearing an expensive suit who would have never gotten his job if not for political connections. For his part, Calico might just see in Toussaint a man more rabble-rouser than labor leader, but probably not, because both are savvy enough to look beyond the surface. 3 years ago, to the week, these two men were actually hugging after announcing a deal that Calico described this way.
We want to go from confrontation to cooperation. We want our members and our workers to have health care, wages, and improvements based on productivity. And most of all, we want our workers to be treated with dignity.
But just yesterday, here's what was sticking in Toussaint's craw.
When you have transit workers stand up for their rights and for their dignity, that we are then called thugs, selfish, greedy, overpaid by a billionaire, right? And we have important issues that we are trying to address in this contract that go beyond the issues of pensions and wages and so on, the treatment of our members.
Toussaint's background gives little indication that much of his adult life would be spent tangling with billionaires. The one he was referring to there was Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Born poor in Trinidad, expelled from a good high school for reportedly graffitiing the slogan, "Free education means free books," he found himself in New York City as a young man. Well, in his 20s, he began working for the Transit Authority as a cleaner and then a track worker. He antagonized management through his work with the union and was eventually fired. The low point was when the MTA hired a detective to monitor Toussaint. According to Richard Steer, editor of the civil service newspaper The Chief, this move helped shape Toussaint into who he is today.
It wound up blowing up on the MTA that basically they tailed him and they were filming him. And they got an awful lot of footage of Roger taking a young child to school every day. And that did not reflect real well in terms of they're looking to portray him as somebody who, was trying to get over on the job. I think that it sort of fortifies you in the feeling that you're justified in believing that management is up to no good and that you're not the only person who is getting the short end from them.
Toussaint was soon catapulted to the presidency of TWU Local 100. In the position, he enjoyed the support of the rank and file, was smooth enough to placate the old guard, and skilled enough to face down the likes of Peter Calico. Calico took the mogul's route to MTA chairmanship, running a real estate empire that at one point even included ownership of the New York Post. Craig Horowitz profiled Calico for New York Magazine and found him extremely likable with a good sense of humor, a real straight shooter. Still, the theme of wealth runs through all of Horowitz's anecdotes about Calico.
He's a guy who, you know, as one of his friends said to me, they would have a dinner party on his $7 million yacht, and he'd be in the bedroom watching the honeymooners.
When the real estate bubble of the 90s burst, it took Calico with it. His bankruptcy was public, and embarrassing details emerged. The papers reported expenditures like $2,300 for riding boots and $153 for an awning, for a doghouse, for the yacht. But Craig Horowitz says that going through bankruptcy strengthened Calico. He also says that Calico drew upon his deep political connections to George Pataki and former New York Senator Al D'Amato to eventually become head of the MTA. Horowitz reports that though the position is unpaid, Calico honestly views it as public service and, more than his real estate wealth, as his legacy.
Now that he's back on his feet financially, he's very wealthy again. He could do what most guys in that situation do, which is he could sit on a couple of corporate boards. He could go to a fundraiser now and then. He doesn't really need to do this. Keep in mind, it's a terrible job. It's really a thankless position as public service opportunities go. Outside of the strike, he gets blamed for every broken turnstile, dirty subway car, every train that's late, every problem.
According to Richard Steer, editor of the civil service newspaper The Chief, Calico and Toussaint want much of the same thing, the ongoing health of the MTA and its workers. And of course, it was only 3 years ago when the two men shared a moment, or at least an embrace.
Roger felt that he had connected with Calico, that it seemed almost like that closing scene in Casablanca. Louis, this may be the start of a beautiful friendship.
Indeed, now it looks like Calico and Toussaint may have made a deal to reach a deal. And in the meantime, the subway and buses will be running again. Maybe today. More maybe tomorrow. But soon, and for the rest of the length of the contract. Mike Pesca, NPR News, New York.